Our scripture reading this morning is once again from 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5, I'll read the first 16 verses, but the focus of the sermon this morning will be on verses 3 through 8. This is the word of our God. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. Honor widows who are truly widows, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She, who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she, who is self-indulgent, is dead, even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children and has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work, but refuse to enroll younger widows. For when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Now, I have recently seen on social media pictures with a quaint little cute saying that's intended to give a bit of a chuckle for us, but there is a measure of truth behind it. It goes something like this. Kids, when teaching us older folks to use technology, don't make fun of us. Remember, we taught you how to use a spoon. And you see, there is some truth to that, because when you think about it, when you try to explain technology, computers, and so forth to some of us who are in the older generation and even older than that, sometimes there's a bit of frustration because you think, boy, this is so easy. How can you not get it? Well, guess what? When you were toddlers and we're trying to get you to hold a spoon correctly, we would say to ourselves, this is so easy. Why can't you get it? The point, as much as a giggle and a smile as such a little saying might give us, the point behind it is that we need to remember to honor people in their respective positions. Now, Paul is moving into specifics now. Last week, we covered the gamut. Older men, older women. Younger men, younger women. That pretty much sums up everyone. But now Paul is getting much more specific. Paul has been dealing with instructions to Timothy that he is to bring to the church. because there would come a time, and of course now we're about 2,000 years removed from this time, when the apostles would no longer be there, and the church had to learn how to structure itself, behave itself, and treat one another. And that's where we are. We still need this instruction. And what Paul does now, from here through verse 16, is to deal with widows. Widows. And we'll look at this over the next few weeks, various classifications of widows. But today, what I want us to see is just simply this, that families are responsible to look after and provide for the needs of widows among them. Families are responsible to look after and provide for the needs of widows among them. We'll look at this under three headings. First of all, families are to care for widows. Secondly, we'll look at Paul's description of women who truly are widows. And then thirdly, Paul's warning for not caring for widows. So first of all, families are to care for widows. Look again at verse 3. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. Paul begins with honor widows. And you could see that Paul has shifted from the general to the specific. Honor widows. He is beginning this larger section, as I mentioned, that goes through verse 16, on widows and how we treat them. What is a widow? What kinds of widows are there? And you would think at first, well, a widow is just somebody who lost her husband. Well, it's a bit simplistic, as we'll see. But Paul is saying that we need to honor them. Usually, in this culture, and even worse, during Old Testament times, widows were treated abysmally, horribly, because they ended up having no status whatsoever. Now, we'll see in a little bit how the Bible gives clear commands, even in the Old Testament, especially in the Old Testament, concerning our treatment of widows, how we are not to treat them and what we are to do instead, and also the clear warnings when we do not treat them as we ought. There is clear warnings for the plight of widows. But then what Paul does is he breaks a little bit. In verse 4, he shifts to widows that have children and grandchildren. Now, technically speaking, that word that the ESV translates as grandchildren could be any kind of offspring. But most likely, common sense would tell you that it's pretty much just children and grandchildren that are in view. Let them first learn. Children and grandchildren. There are a few commentators out there that refer, or that say the them in that verse refers to the widows. And quite honestly, I can't make sense of that at all. Why they insist upon that. It makes no sense. Clearly, from the whole context, the them are the family members, the children and grandchildren of the widows. These relatives, they have to learn to show godliness. Notice that it does not come natural to us. You see, the reality is, in caring for widows, that is something by which the Lord teaches us godliness. That is one of the means by which we learn godliness. When Paul told Timothy to train himself for godliness, and then he told Timothy to command and teach these same things, this is what's included in that, caring for widows. And yet the reality is, we think it's so simple. Just give them a room, put a TV there, maybe give them a phone. Yeah, we've cared for them. No, we need to learn godliness and what it really means to care and provide for them. You see, this is a lifelong learning. Let them be learning. And notice that what Paul does with this, they show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. Now, this whole sense of making some return, that's actually in the ESV a bit weaker than what's there in the Greek. What Paul does there in the Greek, he gives both a noun and a verb. He gives both a noun and a verb that have essentially the same root meaning. Pay back, a return. Thus, it could be something like this, better as something like this, a repayment or give back a payment. There's a bit of a semantic redundancy on Paul's part, emphasizing the importance of this. You see, the reason why we care for widows, the reason why we provide for them, widows in our own family, is because, as we saw even in chuckling at the beginning, they taught us to use a spoon. They taught us to button a shirt. You think about all these things that we do every single day, sometimes multiple times a day, that we just take for granted. We had to learn those things. And from whom did we learn them, if not from our own mothers and our own fathers? It is a giving back. But see, that's just a small amount of what they've taught us. They gave us food. They put the clothes on our backs when we were kids. They changed our diapers. This is what Paul is talking about. It is repaying, giving something back to those who gave to us and who are no longer able to give or do much of anything. This is further exposition, if you will, of the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother. Now notice what Paul says about this. Yes, you'd be making some return. Yes, you'd be paying back a repayment to your parents. But this is pleasing in the sight of God. This idea of pleasing, it's the sense of being acceptable. It is the idea of the fact that what we are doing is something that God Himself is concerned about. Caring for widows. Caring for those who cannot care for themselves. You see, in many respects, this obedient act that Paul is describing here, the fact that obeying in this way is pleasing in the sight of God, is a bit of a truism. It's true. Obedience is always pleasing to God. But Paul is stressing it here for a reason. Because you see, in many respects, spiritually, you and I were just like widows. Unable to provide anything for ourselves for spiritual good. Nothing. We are like skeletons in the grave. And trust me, no amount of free will is going to cause that skeleton to arise. No, it is all of grace. God, in his love and in his mercy, provided what we needed for spiritual life. And so we likewise need to provide and care for those who cannot care for themselves, and in particular, widows. You see, giving this return, it truly does honor the matriarch. It is, as I said, the fifth commandment applied. But what is a widow? Well, this brings us to our second point, women who are truly widows. Look now at verse 5. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. Truly a widow. Now, what Paul is doing, he's bringing us right back again to verse 3. Honor widows who are truly widows. He's explaining now what he means by a true widow. It's too simplistic to define a widow as simply someone who lost her husband. That's true. But what Paul is concerned about are those widows in particular that are truly left alone. Not simply feeling alone, but truly are alone. Those who have no children to care for them, no relatives left to care for them. Those having been left alone, this is what a true widow is. But notice there's certain characteristics of such a widow in the church. She has set her hope on God. Set her hope on God. Now, this particular verbiage, this particular kind of language, it's the only occurrence in the New Testament, but it is common in classical Greek literature. Thus, setting her hope in. And of course, brothers and sisters, this would make sense. To whom else could she turn? If she is left all alone, the only one to whom she could possibly turn is God himself. To God himself. You see, there's a real and vital hope in that. She trusts in God. So, of course, it's understandable. She would rest upon God. Think of the widow that Jesus saw giving her two small copper coins in the temple. All that she had. Do you realize her offering not only simply showed her faith, but it was a demonstration of her having put her hope in God as the one who would provide for her. All that she had. Now, if you were to do some of the economic translations, if you will, the money exchanges, and try to put that into modern terms of how much money she actually put in, it's probably about the equivalent of 10 minutes worth of wages. Could you imagine having only 10 minutes worth of wages in your pocket with nothing else, and you gave it all to God? You see, that widow was an individual who set her hope on Christ, who set her hope on God, and we don't even know her name. But the beauty of it, God did. God did. This is a real widow. A real and vital hope she has. It is a hope that trusts in God. It is a hope that has expectations. It is a hope that has patience in waiting upon him. And quite honestly, that is a kind of hope that I would long for myself. Do you have that kind of hope yourself? You see, this hope is demonstrated. Notice that Paul goes on. She has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers, night and day. Supplications and prayers. Now, this verb here, continues, it's okay. It really has more the sense of remains with. She remains with prayer. It's like prayer and supplication has become her constant companion. So, the kind of hope that she has, the lifestyle that she has of prayer and supplication, that is something for which you and I should be striving for day and night ourselves. We have grown pretty accustomed and complacent and comfortable in our lives. It is probably good from time to time to be in want, like these widows. But she demonstrates her hope with supplications and prayers. This is the same pair of words that was used in chapter 2, verse 1. In a sense, true widows are doing the very thing that Paul urged for the people. I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. True widows do this. And the mere fact that they pray in such a fashion means that they are actually doing kingdom work. And we ought to give a return for that. Paul goes on. He's very careful here because then he turns into verse 6 to describe what a true widow should not be. In verse 6, he says, but she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. The ESV uses self-indulgent. The word really means to live in luxury. Not as though living in luxury in and of itself is necessarily sinful, but the ESV brings out the sense here. It's being self-indulgent with that luxury. Now, how this widow got into this position is not made clear. And the truth of the matter is, it really doesn't matter. Whether she receives some sort of an inheritance, whether she is sponging off of somebody else, it really makes no difference. It's just this self-indulgent, luxurious living, and an individual who likely is being described here as once being a part of the church, and then demonstrates their deadness by their self-indulgent living. She has died, even though she's living. The implication here is clear that such a person is not a true widow. Though they may fit a dictionary definition. You see, a true widow is somebody who has nothing and is left destitute and rests upon God and God alone. So after having described what true widows are and the fact that families are to care for such true widows, Paul gives us a warning. This brings us to the third point, the warning for not caring for family. Look now at verse 7. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Command and teach these things, just as he has been saying before. These are instructions to Timothy, and Timothy is to take these instructions to you and to me, that we may live them, that we may honor widows who are truly widows, and care for them, and provide for them. These things that Paul here is describing are all of these things specifically dealing with widows, differentiating them, caring for them. And Paul is returning again to the children and the grandchildren of these widows. And there's a purpose behind it, that they, that is the children and grandchildren, may be above reproach, blameless. Blameless. You need to care for the widows in your families to be blameless before God. As we read from God's law earlier this morning, we read Psalm 15, who may ascend to the holy mountain? And we had a whole list of things which could be summed up in this one simple word. You need to be blameless. And caring for your widows in your family is a way that you be blameless. Verse 8, the negative side to it. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, it's really better understood as is not providing, with the implication there that there are those in the Ephesian church in his day that were not doing their duty. Paul was not giving simple instructions for the future, although that's included. He was dealing with the present. If there is any who is not providing, the stress then on the family, or even the stress on the sentence, is on the family. That's what comes first in the structure of the Greek. His own, and especially his household. Those things come before the verb. That's where the stress is. What's a description of such an individual who does not provide for his own family, especially those of his own household? He has denied the faith. He has denied the faith. Perhaps not explicitly. Perhaps they go to church every week and take their notes and sing their heart out, so to speak. But their actions demonstrate in not providing for their own family that they have truly denied the faith. But Paul goes even further than that. They have not simply denied the faith. They're worse than an unbeliever. Now, as I sit and reflect on those words, I don't think that I have fully grasped the full import of what Paul is saying here. Because we tend to realize there's really not much worse than an unbeliever. We know the unbeliever's destiny. We shudder at it. And for Paul to say these words, that such an individual is worse than an unbeliever, it's driving home the point that the sadness is that there are some unbelievers who do this better than we do. Brothers and sisters, this should not be. We need to provide and care for those in our families, especially for the members of our own household. You see, the temptation is for Christians to step back and say, well, the church can take care of her. And the reality is, having served on other sessions, I've seen this happen, where people just left their parents and said, well, it's the church's responsibility. Paul is saying such a person is worse than an unbeliever. You know, Paul in verse 16 reminds us that we are to care for them so that the church is not burdened. And Paul is speaking there of the unnecessary burden. In such a case, if you are not providing for your family, those who are in need, you are putting an unnecessary burden and stress upon the church, because they need to be able to care for those who cannot and have no one to care for the needs. Worse than an unbeliever. The temptation then for we as Christians to avoid and to suppress is to pawn such relatives off on the church, when we have the ability and power to do it ourselves. Oh, but I need a new car. That means if I do that, I'm going to have to cut cable. So cut the cable. Keep the car another year or two. It's okay. It'll still run. Do not be worse than an unbeliever. Please turn, if you would, to Exodus 22. Exodus chapter 22. In Exodus chapter 22, beginning at verse 22, we read these words. I turned to the wrong book. Shame on me. Exodus 22, verse 22. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will burn, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. Those are some pretty harsh warnings there. Is it any wonder then that the Apostle Paul would say that you who do not do these things, that is, care for those in your family, are worse than an unbeliever? If you would not care for widows, you yourself will become just like them. That is God's warning to us. That should give us pause. You see, James, a famous, well-known verse, James in chapter 1, verse 27, he says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Notice the care for widows there. That's what demonstrates pure religion to this world. Caring of our widows among us, in our families. Now, one final word of application. Brothers and sisters, I realize sometimes these are difficult matters to consider. Sometimes it is difficult to know whether or not caring for the physical well-being of a widow is beyond our ability, because they have become so physically disabled, even mentally disabled, that it becomes beyond our ability. And yes, that does happen. There's no question that it happens. We knew of a couple that took in one of their mothers, and it got to a point that physically and mentally she was so debilitated that this poor woman, caring for her in her home, could not sleep at all, ever. That was too much. Constantly having to go in and check, because if she attempted to get out of bed, it was a guaranteed fall. You see, sometimes those realities do hit us. And yes, those are going to be situations where we need professional facilities for them. Now, what Paul is talking about here are those who you have the ability to care for. We live in a day and an age where our affluence has made it easy to just simply ship them off to a nursing home so I don't have to deal with it, even when a nursing home is not what is really needed for them. How do you know when it's time for such a situation? Well, that's not easy to determine. Every situation, of course, is going to be different. I realize that. Let me at least encourage you. Seek godly counsel. Is this becoming too much for me? Is it becoming too much for my family? It can. It happens. But insofar as is possible with you, do everything you can to care for those who first cared for you, who taught you to use that spoon, taught you to ride a bike, taught you to drive, taught you the difference between right and wrong. Care for them. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ had compassion on widows. Walking along the side one day, he sees a funeral procession. The child, the son of a widow, the only child of a widow. Knowing that this woman would be left absolutely destitute, our Lord Jesus Christ had compassion on her and raised that son back to life. Now, I realize you and I don't have that ability. But do you have that compassion for the widows in your families? Do you have the desire to make sure that in whatever way possible that you will provide for them and give back a payment to what they have done for you? You see, in a sense, we recognize that we cannot give back to God what He has given us in Christ Jesus. But there is one small way we can show a token of our appreciation. And that is caring for widows as Christ cared for us. Honor widows who are truly widows. Honor them. Care for them. For this is what is pleasing in the sight of God. Let's pray.